One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" And then he said to him, "Get up. On your way, your faith has healed and saved you."
Well, good morning again. Thanks so much for being here with us. Man, what a great time of worship. You know, just thank you, band, for leading us. Thank you for preparing us, getting us ready to be able to hear the word, just to be able to sing together and just acknowledge who God is, man. He is the one. And so it's cool to be able to just sing that together and celebrate that. So thank you for getting us cranked up. We're in week 2 of our series called Out Loud. And really what we've been talking about is 30 days of thanks and praise. Just experiencing all that God has for us, that all the things that he's done for us, given us, provided for us, that we're able to just be thankful and to praise him for it. And that's what this week, this series is all about, and this month should really be about. We know that Thanksgiving comes in November, but listen, we should really celebrate that all year long. I think as believers and as the church, Thanksgiving should be a 365-day a year celebration. I think Christmas should be an everyday celebration, and Easter should be an everyday celebration for us. I get the whole pump it up and be excited about it, but I just think we should be that excited every day about those things. And so that's just me. Maybe I'm just weird like that, but that's probably not the only way you think I'm weird, so that's okay. So anyway, we just are here to be able to celebrate this time of praise and thanksgiving. And so this series is about bringing us to a place of recognizing what true gratitude is, what true thankfulness, gratefulness, whatever word you want to put in there, to just understand that, man, we've been blessed in so many ways, and we should acknowledge God because he is where all of those things come from. And so whether you're at the top of your game, you know, you're at the best place you could imagine being, or you're at the worst place that you can imagine being, let me just tell you that God's still in control. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. And I believe that no matter where you're at on the spectrum, there's things that you can truly find to be thankful for. And if you're at the bottom and you begin to find things to be thankful for, I promise you, you will rise up pretty quickly. And so today I hope I can help you just a little bit by giving you what God says about how to be grateful. And so we looked at the passage from Luke 17 about where Jesus heals the lepers. There were 10 of them. They cry out to him. Man, he just speaks the word, tells them to go, and as they're going, they're just healed. And the interesting thing about it is all of those guys' bodies are put back together. They become, you know, whole again, and they got what they asked for. But guess what? Only one of them turned around and said, "Thank you." Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I've been one of the 9, probably way more than I've been that one. And so today, again, we want to continue on looking at this, to be able to be thankful. And so the scripture that we look at the most is in chapter 17, verse 18. And it says this, that was no one found. This is Jesus talking. After the 10 have been healed, the one back, he asked this question, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? See, this guy was a Samaritan. He was kind of an outcast and really wasn't accepted well because of where he was from and the way the Jews looked at them. The rest were Jews who were supposed to be God's people. They're supposed to get all of this stuff, and they totally were missing it. And this guy got it. And Jesus says, "Look, what's up?" And so today we want to acknowledge the fact that gratitude is way more than just being thankful, because I believe the 9 were thankful, and they were grateful they were healed. But when that one turned around and expressed his gratitude, that became true gratitude. And that's our theme, is that gratitude is only gratitude when it's expressed. We got to be willing to express it. We got to make sure that we extend that out. And so that's where we've been last week. We kind of set the stage for this. And this week, we want to look at one of the ways that we express our thankfulness. And that way, this week, is through obedience. Obedience is a great way to express thanksgiving and gratitude. I don't know of a better way than to just, you know, demonstrate it by doing what somebody says. If you're thankful to them, surely I can't think of a better way than to just be obedient, to listen to them and do what they say. We often think of gratitude being something that's forced. You know, if you're a parent in here, you know, you're all the time, what do you say? You know, because you're wanting your kids to say thank you, but they don't. So you have to prompt them. You kind of almost have to force them or remind them to do it. You know, gratitude and expressing it becomes kind of a last resort. And I'm really ready for my kids to get to that last one, because I'm ready for it just to happen, you know, because it gets old saying it all the time. And they do a good job. I'm just, you know, my daughter, Allie, who's 12, thinks that I have to mention her every week. And I just tell her to quit giving me all the message, you know, stuff. And I'll quit mentioning her. But anyway, so it's, you know, that's what happens when you're a pastor's kid, I guess. But anyway, but the thing is we've got to learn to be grateful. And last week, you know, I expressed my gratitude to Pastor Eddie and Pastor Gabe for all they do here. And so I told you every week I want to thank somebody. And I want to express my gratitude to them. And so I just want to take a moment, keeping with the theme. And I want to invite Jason and Eva McLean to come up. And Bobby Klein, where are you? Bobby Klein, if you'll come up. So you don't know, Jason and Eva, they are our URA Kids coordinators. They've been here for really the whole time we've been URA and longer than that, really. But they've really done an amazing job to build a great program back there for us. And the reason some of you may be looking at them and say, I don't even recognize those people. Well, you know why? It's because they're always back there during the service. And you're always in here. And so I would just challenge you, maybe you should just go back there one Sunday and let them come out here, okay? So I'm just saying, that would be a great thing to do. Would that not be really cool? Anyway, so I just want to say thank you to you guys for all that you've done. They are here on Fridays, they're here on Mondays, they're here on Wednesdays. They spend so much time doing things so that our kids hear about Jesus. And it's tough. They're trying to put schedules together where they don't have people to fill in the holes, and they make it happen. And every week, our kids get to hear about Jesus because of you guys. And I just want to say thank you. And could we just give them a round of applause? Absolutely. Thank you. Love y'all. Thank you. So just hang out. So next is Bobby Klein. Next is Bobby Klein. If you don't know Miss Bobby, you have missed out. Yeah, Miss Bobby is, she's kind of like my right-hand woman, okay? She does everything around here. Keeps me in line, keeps things cranking. She provides so much of the food that you see, or at least gets it here and together. If you're here on Wednesday night and you get to be part of the meal, it's either because she cooked it or she made sure that somebody else cooked it. And it's always good when she cooks it. Not that it's not when the rest of you do, but you can always know that Miss Bobby's going to cook a good meal. And so I just want to say to you, in fact, and by the way, she does all the painting around here. She paints all the walls and keeps up off the scuff marks and all that stuff and just does a ton of stuff. And so thank you for all that you've done. She's been with me since we were actually with High Rock in Denton, and kept me straight there, and she's kind of like my adopted mom. And so when my mom passed away, she was there and for my family. And so she just deserves a huge round of applause. So. Love you. Thank you. So. Love you.
Appreciate you.
get a sweaty hug. So thank you guys. So if you see them out there, make sure you tell them thank you. Make sure that you let them know how much you appreciate them, and just they are just unbelievable people. And so if you didn't get called to the stage, hang on, it might be coming. If you don't get up here, I promise I'll get to you. But I want you guys to know, just there are so many of you that I'm so thankful for, that let us do what we do every week. So thank you. One of the things I wanted to mention is being obedient. Pastor Gabe today is not with us. The reason that he's not is another church that I mentioned. We're doing this with a collection of other churches, kind of work together to make this thing happen, this series. One of their pastors got extremely sick last night, and at about 10 o'clock, Pastor Gabe got a call and said, "Hey, can you come preach at this church this message?" He hasn't looked at the message. He hadn't studied it. He didn't know what it was about. He didn't have a clue. But you know what he did? He said yes. And he was willing to step up and go. And so he's speaking at another church, providing for them so that they can have it. And again, that's just a way that we as a church express our gratitude. We got an amazing staff. Pastor Eddie goes and speaks at other churches. We're just not selfish with what we have. And so just thank you for a church that lets us be able to be who we want. So anyway, I know you're wanting, like, will you preach at me? Okay, so I'm getting ready to do that. So here's the thing. Obedience is important, and it comes out of our gratitude. I've been thinking about obedience a lot differently as we've kind of spent time in the series and really just digging down. It's kind of begun to change how I look at it. Because obedience is one of those things, again, I think of as being forced, and you got to make somebody do it. Oftentimes, if you really want it, you got to force it. And that's just, sometimes that's a issue. Obedience, for me, it's like, when I'm obedient, it's like I'm giving up control. And can I just tell you that, hi, my name's Ron, and I'm a control freak. Okay, I said it, okay? I just like to be in control. It's just one of those things. And I guess if we're all honest, we would all like to be in control. We all want to have the reins. I don't like to ride in a car. If I have my way, I'm picking you up if we're riding somewhere together, because I just don't want to ride with anybody. I want to be driving. You know, I at least want that illusion of control, and so I want the wheel. When it comes to being pastor here, listen, sometimes, you know, I'm called to be in control of the things that God gives me. He's in charge. Don't make any bones about that, but there's sometimes I have to do that. You know, but sometimes I go overboard with it. I'm just going to tell you, because it's that important to me, and it's a big piece of who I am and who God's called me to be. And so I want to be in charge. I want to be in control. I don't like to lose. You know, second place is first loser. That's the way I look at it. I want to be in charge. The guy with the trophy, he runs the show, right? I want to do that. I want to be there, and that's me. But I think, again, we all have that sense about us. And so my thinking has been changing over this series about studying and just really looking at what God talks about gratitude and how he talks about obedience. And so my thinking is shifting from now I'm in control to I get to choose who's in control. I get to pick who's in control. Because really the attitude of a believer should never be that I want to be in charge. It should always be that we want God to be in charge. And so I need to understand that not, I don't have to be in charge, but I get to choose who's in charge. And there's a great story in the Bible that really illustrates how to understand and be able to trust God as being in charge, to be obedient to him, and be able to see him work through this. And it's found in Genesis chapter 22. It's a very familiar story that if you've been in church at all, you've probably heard. It's in the very beginning of 22. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. And so let me give you kind of the idea of what happens here. God has given Abraham a son named Isaac. Things are kind of cranking along, and God calls Abraham to do something ridiculous, to do something crazy. He calls Abraham, tells him to take Isaac up and to sacrifice him. Now, I don't know about you, but as a dad, man, I can't understand or fathom having to make the choice of being obedient to God and sacrificing my own child. There are moments, but anyway, sorry. I'm just being real, you know what I'm saying? So, but no, really, I can't imagine being asked by God to give one of my kids up to be obedient. And here's God calling Abraham to give up his only son to sacrifice him. And he tells him to go up and to make this happen. So what does Abraham do? He's obedient. He packs up, you know, the wood for the fire. He loads up the donkey, gets some help, and he gets Isaac, and he says, hey, we're going to go do a sacrifice. And Isaac's like, oh, okay. And so Abraham leads them on up there. And so they get up to the top, and he finally says, hey, we're going to go on. And he leaves his help behind, and he takes the wood and Isaac, and he goes on up. And so as they kind of get there, there's some interesting little dialogue that happens between Abraham and Isaac, because Isaac starts to get a little picture here. He says this in verse 7. It says, and Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. So Abraham says, listen, let's just go. God's going to take care of this. Isaac's kind of wondering, but Abraham says, no, look, I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to go forward. And so they get there. They get to the place that God tells them to go. Abraham builds the altar. He puts the wood up there. And the next thing you know, he binds up Isaac, and he lays him on the altar. He grabs up the knife. He raises it to give his only son, ready to go, ready to let it fly. And the angel of the Lord calls out to him and says, Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. You've proven your obedience. You've proven that you're willing even to give your only son to be obedient to God. Now, I don't know about you, but man, that I think I would probably like pass out at that moment because of the emotion and all the things it must have took for Abraham to raise that knife to his son Isaac. But here's the cool part. The angel says, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, for me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place of that name, that the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Listen, Abraham goes to this place and he's obedient even to something that sounded completely ridiculous, that was crazy out of the circumstances, that put him in a place where it was like, wait a minute, I can't do this. But he brings him to this place of knowing that God has said to do it, and God has been faithful all the way, and it's time for me to do what it is that God tells me to do. And Abraham knew at this moment, and Jesus came to show it to us and model it for us, that if you're God, if you truly are, you're the God who's shown yourself in control, that you're the one with all the answers, that you're the one who clearly loves us, why in the world wouldn't I listen to you? If you've proven yourself over and over and over again, let me stop for a second. If you're in this room, you can look around your life and say, God has proven himself over and over and over again. You may not give him credit, but I promise you that you're sitting here breathing today is that he's proven himself over and over and over again. But what happens is we're going to look in this, it becomes very difficult for us to see sometimes. But here's the one who's done all of this, that's proven his love for us, and how in the world could we not follow him? And that's what we're going to spend our time kind of digging down into. Why wouldn't I let you be in control? Why wouldn't I demonstrate my gratitude to you, God? Because you know, why would I let my circumstances or my situation get in the way? God, you've proven yourself. Why wouldn't I be obedient? Now, here's what I want us to know today. Here's the point I want us to be digging through and listening to, that obedience is looking above my situation to see God's faithfulness. It's looking above what's going on around us. It's looking above what's good or bad in our at us and seeing God's faithfulness. Not somebody else's, not a church's, not any of that stuff, but seeing God's faithfulness. We're going to spend some time now in John chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, flip over. John chapter 6, it's in about two-thirds of the way or so. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. If you are struggling with, you know, wanting to read the Bible but you don't know where to go, go to the book of John. Just begin to read. You'll get to learn so much about Jesus. You'll get to learn about his life and his ministry. It is a great place to begin reading your Bible. So if you've never read it on a regular basis, go there and begin to read it. But John chapter 6 is where we're going to spend our time. It's an amazing chapter. It starts with the feeding of 5,000. Here in chapter 6, we find out that there were 5,000 men that came. They listened to Jesus' teaching. It was 5,000 men and all their families, so it was probably like 15 or 20,000 people. And it got dark, got late, got time for supper. Nobody had any weenies and buns. And so somebody said, hey, what are we going to do to feed these people? And we don't have any money, you know. So what are we going to do? And so the little boy shows up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and Jesus says, buffet's on. And he begins to break those loaves into pieces and those fish into pieces, starts passing it out. And the next thing you know, they fed all of those people, and they got 12 baskets left over. I mean, it's an amazing account of how Jesus moved. So here we see him doing this. Then all these people then, you know, they've been fed. You know, if you want, we know that fact in church. If you want people to show up for something, you put food out, they'll come, right? That's the best way to get them. And, you know, so if you don't get them with food, then you're either you can't cook or there's something wrong with you. You stink or something, I don't know. But anyway, so you put food out, people come. You want people to keep following, you keep providing food. Here's Jesus doing this amazing thing. Later, he walks on the water to his, you know, his disciples. They're kind of flipped out. He walks on water to them. We just see him doing all kinds of amazing things. Then he goes into this whole kind of discourse on that he's the bread of life, that he's, you know, he's come to save them. He's come to, you know, die on the cross, to be buried. He goes through, tells them all about what's getting ready to happen. Chapter 6 is an amazing read. You need to open it up and read it sometime. Today'd be a good day, but that's for you to decide. But the thing of it is, here's what we find. That after all of these things, these people became kind of like we are. Kind of like the church is today. Here's what happens. John chapter 6, verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Hold up. Here's a dude that just fed them all. He's walking on water. He's doing all these things, and they turn and walk away and don't follow him anymore. Why? Because he got real with them. He began to tell them what it was going to really cost them to keep seeing the freak show. He told them what it was going to be about to really be a true follower, to really get to know who he was, that there was going to be some changes that were going to need to take place in their lives. And man, the crowd began to thin out. People began to disappear because if they were going to believe him, it was going to change their expectations and it was going to change how they viewed and interacted with God. Listen, we know we can draw a crowd every Sunday. Some of you are like, well, dude, have you looked at your chairs yet? Because there's a lot empty. Listen, I can fill the seats. I can go hire, you know, band members. I can begin to play, you know, all this stuff, and we can do a real light show for you. Listen, we just do that because it's kind of cool and it's fun, and it kind of softens everything. We can do a real light show for you, and we could bring in some dynamic speakers. Sorry, y'all are stuck with me. We could do all kinds of things. We can, you know, we can put, you know, bouncy houses in the parking lot, and we can have people parachute in. We can do all kinds of stuff, and we can fill this place up. But the reality is that will only last as long as we do that. The moment we begin to really talk about what it's going to cost, the crowd will thin every time. But we've seen it happen. There's been times where I've had to preach some tough messages. And you can kind of, I can watch the attendance numbers by sometimes how tough the messages get and how really real I get with you about what it's going to cost to follow Jesus. And so that happens. We're not unique to it. It happened to Jesus. And he began to tell them what it was really going to be about. It's going to happen. And the fact of the matter is that while not everybody was ungrateful and unthankful, and while not everybody is going to leave when the preaching gets tough, the thing was here that some did, a lot did. And why is that? Why is it that it thinned out? It's because the verses before that had really got down, and they could not handle the truth. They couldn't do it. They couldn't handle the truth. They couldn't handle the truth.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
That's right. I'm just trying to get it to happen, you know? Man, you know, I can't walk on water and I can't make videos. Come on, so... Anyway, I probably messed it up. So anyway, but that's it. We can't handle the truth. They couldn't handle it then, and we can't handle it now. Some found his teaching hard. There were people that followed for a season, and then when things didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen, they said, "Oh, forget this. He's not doing it the way I would do it. You know, he did it this way, and he didn't ask anybody. You know, he's doing his own thing, and he's calling us to come follow him, and he's telling us that this is the way it's got to be, and we're not going to listen." You know, they wanted a political Messiah. They wanted him to be the one who took them, you know, got Rome, that just ran Rome out of there and made it a place they wanted to be. They wanted him to come in and really be a warrior when he came to be a savior. And all of a sudden, they began to disappear on him. They didn't want to hear talk of his atoning death. They didn't want to hear about eternal life or satisfying spiritual needs. Man, they wanted their bellies full. And they wanted their stuff in the, you know, their camels in the garage. And they wanted all of this stuff. And when he came and he wasn't what they wanted, they began to forget about him. Let me just be straight up with you. If we're going to be true followers of Christ, there are going to be times where we're not going to be popular. Not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to invite us to the party. Not everybody's going to like everything that we have to say. You know, we're going to be left out of some things. But here's the cool part. We might get left out of a party here or there, but the reality is we're going to be in the party. We're going to be in the real time where we get to spend forever in heaven. Now, that can almost seem like an elitist attitude, and I don't ever want to be that we're some exclusive club. Because the reality is that I hope the party's as big as it can be. And I hope I make it bigger by what I do with my life and how I minister and share the gospel. But the truth is that if we're going to be that, then we're not going to always be the most popular one in the crowd. It's going to be tough. It's going to be unpleasant at times. But man, is it going to be rewarding? Man, is it going to be rewarding here? We don't have to wait for heaven, because the moment you accept Christ, let me just tell you, heaven starts. The moment you accept Jesus, eternal life is already there, and we should live like we're experiencing heaven now. We might have some ugly circumstances around us, but let me tell you, if you have Christ in your heart, you've already inherited eternal life. That should be something we get excited about. I mean, you know, come on. I know all you Carolina fans cheered yesterday, and we should be able to cheer as loud as those guys did when they beat that other team from across the town there. You know, but we should at least cheer as loud as those Dukies cry. I mean, come on, you know, come on. So the reality is it should be loud when we talk about it, when we celebrate it. We should be able to experience this amazing thing. There have been those that have been associated with the things of God. They've become members of churches. They've been involved in ministries. They've done all these things. But when things got tough, They turned around and walked away. The reality of being a true follower of Christ is that our obedience comes out of being grateful for what God's done in our lives. It shouldn't matter whether things are the way we want it to be. It shouldn't matter if we get to do it the way we want to do it. It shouldn't matter all those things. It should matter that we recognize what he's done for us. And out of our gratitude for eternal life, out of our gratitude of just paying the price for our sins on a cross and being buried and raised again, that we should be willing to be obedient to the things that he calls us to. Can somebody say amen? Because that was pretty good stuff, okay? The reality is we should be willing to do that. We're taught in the parable of the sower that some people will hear and respond. Some for that seed is going to fall on fertile ground, but here's the truth. Some of that seed is going to fall in the weeds, right? Some of it's going to fall in the thorns. Some of it's going to fall on hard ground, and it's not going to grow. Not everybody's going to get it. I get that. One of my hardest things that I struggle with is I don't understand why everybody doesn't get it. I really don't. You know, I don't get why people don't get who Jesus is and what he did for them. I have to back up, and I have to change my thinking sometimes. So I'm like, why don't they get it? You know, I don't understand why people don't want to be generous. I don't get that, because I think we should be willing to do that. I don't get why people don't want to serve, because I just think we should do that. It's hard for me sometimes because I know I get a little pushy. You know, I like to be in charge, and then I don't get why you don't want to come along with me. Man, that's not a good recipe sometimes. But the reality is that we need to be willing to do this. Obedience. The reason I don't get it is because I understand the price that was paid for me. Not as a pastor. Listen, as a 21-year-old kid who thought he had the world by the tail, who thought he could fix it all himself, who thought he could pay his own way out of whatever he got himself into, that I came to a place and realized that if I died, I would not be in God's presence. I would spend forever separated from him in a terrible place called hell. And because of that, I understand the fact that there was an amazing price paid for me to be able to live. Listen, cops give their lives every day for us. And you know, there's this big thing going on now. I get all that, you know, cops are bad, and you know, some people are praising them, people are beating them up, and back and forth. But the reality is there's way more good than there's bad. And some of those guys give their lives so that you and I can be protected. And when that happens, man, we put that all over Facebook. You know, because I know there's this little tension that goes on right now about, you know, the whole racial thing and all of that. But I'm not talking about that. You're going to be honest, Jesus died for all the races. He died for everybody. So we got to get over that. But the truth is that if a cop gives his life for us, we put him all over Facebook. Jesus gave his life for all of us, for all eternity. And we don't want to tell anybody. Can I just challenge you to really just think about that, and let's pray about that? Because I think if we are real about it, then we should be way more promoting of Jesus in our lives than anything else. Not what we ate last night, not when we brushed our teeth and went to bed, but what Jesus did for us. Because if he saved you, he's taken you out of hell. He's raised you from death to life and giving you heaven for all eternity. Man, we should be jacked about that. And that should drive us to be obedient, to be able to be thankful, because he's been faithful the whole time. He's never left us or abandoned us. And so today we need to understand that Jesus is why we should be obedient, because we should be thankful. Every pastor has come to a place to read verse 66 to say, you know, man, sometimes people are just going to leave you. Not everybody's going to follow along. And let me just tell you, when somebody leaves, I take it way personal, because this is what God called me to, because I love you. It's a tough thing. But we need to understand that sometimes people are just going to walk away. They're going to turn their back. But the thing of it is, we should be able to follow him. Instead, Jesus, he told them the things they didn't want to hear. He could have just left it there and made them all feel good with their bellies full and all that. But he was honest about the fact of what it was going to truly cost them. That it was going to be a price that they were going to have to pay. And the people had to admit that I've had people tell me, hey, listen, I couldn't listen to that podcast anymore because it was pretty tough. It was hard on me. Well, you probably should have kept listening then, you know? I've heard people say, the message was tough. Well, it's not about the message that I have. It's about the message that he gave us. And we need to be able to follow that. Jesus has told us where it comes to. The problem is we come to a crisis of belief. Do we trust him for what he's done in his faithfulness, or do we trust us? Just a show of hands, because let's just be really honest. If you've ever followed your way and it got you in trouble before, would you just be honest and raise your hand? Yeah, if it cost you, if it hurt you, if it hurt somebody else. Yeah, I think all of us know that. So if we follow our way and that got us in trouble, don't you think we ought to try the other way? Don't you think the way we ought to look at it is the one who created us, that made us for a purpose, who has everything lined up for us, that we probably ought to listen to him? I mean, I don't like to make Christianity make sense all the time, because sometimes I just don't think it does and should, because I think we should have faith and just believe it for who said it. But that just makes sense, y'all. And it's scriptural and it's true. That if he's got the plan, why in the world wouldn't we listen to him and follow him? But here's what happens. So Jesus looks at the 12, verse 67. He says, do you want to go away as well? I love this next verse. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have known and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter's question is what should make obedience easy for us. It's what makes me be able to do what I do. It's what makes me be able to hang in when things are tough. It's like, who else am I going to go to? The one who has ordered the universe, the one who's created me and made me for a purpose and called me to do something, why in the world, where else am I going to go? And so for us, we need to understand and ask ourselves, where else would I go? I know where we go oftentimes. We go to stuff. We go to things. We go to people. We go to substances. We go to places on the internet. We go to other places, and we try to find some other place to go, don't we? But the reality is, it always comes back to Peter's question, where else can I go? Where else can I go that's going to put me where I need to be? Man, only place I can go is to the one, to the true Holy One of God, to Jesus, who paid the price for me. When we face that opportunity, we need to be able to look at our circumstances. We need to look at everything around us, and we just need to say, you know what? Regardless, my obedience isn't based on what's going right for me. My obedience isn't based on what's good. My obedience isn't based on how much somebody else loves me. My obedience isn't based on how much money I have. My obedience isn't based on how good looking I am. I'd be really obedient. No, I'm just kidding. But we look at it and say, it's not based on any of that. It's based on the faithfulness of God, who loved me enough to give his only son to pay the price for my sin that I couldn't pay on a cross. After being brutally beaten, he was nailed to the cross. After he died, he was taken down, put in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, God raised him to life so that we could not only have our sins paid for, but that we could spend forever restored with him when we understand it and accept it for ourselves. That's what it's all about. That's where our obedience comes from. Listen, if you're struggling with doing the things that God asked you to do, let me take you back to the place of who else has done for you what he's done for you. Who else? The answer is always going to be nobody else. There is no one who's done that for you. So out of that comes this amazing opportunity for us to show our gratitude to God by just being obedient. Listen, he's called some of you to do some things that you're scared to death to do. He's gifted you with talents and gifts that allow you to do some amazing things. He's gifted you to be able to go and minister to kids. He's called you to go and minister to people in our community. He's gifted you to go and minister to people in the schools. He's gifted you to be able to just share Jesus with anybody you come in contact with because you just make friends that easy. Man, he's given you all kinds of things, and you've come to a place, and you said, I can't do it because somebody's not going to like me. The truth is, somebody probably didn't like you anyway. I'm just being real. So why not do what you're supposed to do? Why not be obedient because of his faithfulness, because of what he's already done for you? Wouldn't it make sense to be obedient to the one who has the plan? Here's the thing. How do you know what you're being obedient to? How do you know? How do you know how to do that? It's really simple, and you're going to look at me like, oh, here we go again. You know how you know how to be obedient and who to be obedient to? You open up your Bible, and you read it. I know you've heard that a million times, but it's the truth. And it can't get much more simple than that. I wish I could, you know, there's no cliff notes of the Bible. If I would sell it, man, I'm telling you, because people would buy it. But the reality is it's not. It's just a really cool book that you can open up that's got all the things that you read in those dirty novels. You know, there's sex in there, and there's, you know, there's betrayal and all that stuff if you really want that. But you can get it in a biblical form and find out why you really don't want that in there. There's all kinds of stuff that you've been looking for. It's all right there. But the cool thing is it's not all that junk that's the focus. It's the order that God's given all of us to follow him. And so today I want to challenge you. Begin to read your Bible. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago, and I asked you, hey, just read one verse a day. And many of you took me up on that, and you were communicating with me saying, hey, I did it. And so I hope you didn't stop. Read a verse a day. If that's all you got, do it. You know? But don't read for like 2 minutes and watch Netflix for 3 hours, okay? That just doesn't make sense, all right? But the reality is we all have time to do it. So read your Bible. Get involved in biblical community. Get involved with the people around you, other people that are trying to live life the same way and trying to be obedient and trying to follow the same plan of life. Get plugged into a life group. Come on Wednesday night to Wednesday night community. Hang out with other people. It's that simple. Read your Bible. Get involved in biblical community. And then, you know, it's really simple. Just come to church. You know, come to church. Show up on Sunday morning and begin to hear about who God is. You know, I'll give you a little bit, and you can go home and get a lot more. But just being here and being around other people allows us to grow together, to make friends, and then to see God work in other people's lives, and we can then learn to be obedient and faithful to him. Just get plugged in. The more obedient you become, the more obedience that you'll demonstrate, the more gratitude you'll demonstrate. The more you follow and you're obedient to him, the more gratitude you display to him. Lord, who can I go to? Where else am I going to go? You got the words. You know, that story of Abraham is pretty interesting. He raises his hand and is about to sacrifice his son, and the angel calls out. But, you know, when the angel said that little bit about, you know, here's the deal, we're, you know, and here's the ram, all that good stuff, he wasn't finished. Here's what he says in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, verse 17, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Listen, obedience comes out of gratitude. And gratitude comes out of listening. So gratitude to obedience, obedience to blessing, back to gratitude, to obedience, to blessing. Listen, if you're struggling in your life, let me just tell you to look where God's been faithful and be obedient out of being thankful for what he's done. Because I promise he's not done. And the more that we follow him and the more gratitude we show, the more obedience we demonstrate, the more blessings that will come, because we'll be able to be exactly where he wants us to be. And so today, listen to me. The obedience that you and I need to demonstrate in our lives comes straight out of the gratitude we have for what he's done for us. This morning, if you don't think he's ever done anything for you, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to look at what Jesus truly did. The Bible tells us that we all have fallen short. We've all been separated from God because of sin. That there's a place that has kept us from having the relationship with our Creator that we were meant to have. And it's because we all sin. And because we couldn't pay the price for our sin, Jesus came. God sent his only son to give his life to pay the price for our sin. He was beaten, hung on a cross. He died there. He was taken down. He was put into a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, God truly raised him. Today, you can put your faith and trust and belief in what he did for you. Acknowledge that and be restored to God for all eternity. You can truly have the relationship with God you were meant to have. It doesn't have to seem like a fairy tale. It doesn't have to seem like something somebody else has. It can be made real to you right where you are today. If you've never made that decision, I want to challenge you to do it today, to be obedient because of your gratitude to him for all he's done. Can we pray together? God, I pray right now that you'll bless this time. God, our obedience to do the things that you've called us to do comes out of being thankful and having gratitude, most of all for coming and giving your life for us. God, today in this room, I'm sure that there are people who've never made that decision before, that have never acknowledged that, maybe never even really heard it. And today, the message is clear of what you've done for us so that we must be thankful out of that. And so, God, in this room today, I pray that people would be willing to listen to you and accept your forgiveness. God, for those in the room who've accepted it before, I pray that they would be willing in these moments to acknowledge they haven't followed you, they haven't done what you've asked them to do. And they would ask forgiveness and be restored and ready to go wherever it is that you tell them to go and to do whatever it is you tell them to do. God, for all of us in the room, there's surely times we haven't been obedient, so may you forgive us of that, and may we be willing to start fresh and new and accept whatever it is you have for us. God, in these moments, may we not worry about where we need to be or what we need to do later today, but may we be in tune with you to truly demonstrate our gratitude for what you've done. God, I pray today that as we think about that we can't help but to come and kneel before you and just say thank you. I pray in this room today that we would all acknowledge it, wherever we may be, that you truly are God and you truly have blessed us so much. God, move in this place. As the band plays, God, just speak to our hearts and show us what it is that you want us to do. In Jesus' name.